And right now it is time for our look at the pages of the Lakeville Journal. This week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we're joined by a plethora of folks from the Lakeville Journal. And that plethora of folks will be joining us right now. Everybody check in, see if I've made my phone connections.
Good John morning. And I are here, but Patrick has gone fishing.
That's right.
Well, Patrick deserves to go fishing. He's done yeons job over the past couple
He's
of weeks.
So amazing. He's been so great.
All right. Lots to talk about, including, by the way, a Discover Dutchess County insert, which we'll talk about as well. But I want to start off with the big story at the top. And that is a good story. Sarum Village is going to receive $1.5 million once again, and they'll be breaking ground hopefully this summer. Who wants to handle that story?
I'll take a crack at that. This is John.
Hey, John.
This is great news for people on the waiting list. It's still going to happen over time, but it is a big plus in Salisbury to have adding more affordable housing. The story is pretty comprehensive and it sort of points out that they'll be bringing the total number of rentals in Salisbury to about 34 by adding these 10. And it really is, they're supposed to add pretty much up to about 75 new units over the next decade. So this is a dent in the sense, but there are about 40 people on the waiting list, so this is definitely good news for them.
I'm going to stay with you, John, because a lot of people are interested in this story. And once again, it explains what happens in the process of a bill becoming actually a living, actually breathing a bill. The deep oversight funding has stalled. Once again, it's put forward by Senator Craig Minor. And yet you can explain exactly why it stalled.
Well, it stalled because the bill was conceived initially without any kind of special funding, and so DEEP already is suffering from a fiscal tightening, so to speak. They don't have enough money to do everything they want to do, and so adding in another activity here, which really boiled down to the replanting of the trees for trees that they cut, ran up their problems, and so DEEP and the Senate and the Assembly, the House of Representatives, have been trying to figure out how to do this. The General Assembly adjourned yesterday, so not clear yet exactly how they figured this one out. But I believe they found some way to do something, but I just don't know at this point.
All right, and a bit good news, because springtime is here, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But once again, the Antique Machinery Association in Kent was fired up there.
Oh, yes. Quite a few people showed up for the weekend to watch all kinds of gizmos functioning on steam, you know, and there were things from butter churners to giant locomotives. Everybody had a ball, and the folks who run the CAMA, the Connecticut Antique Machinery Association, were on hand and really gave everybody quite a treat.
Now, the Salisbury Forum had a very interesting forum on something that I guess we've been talking about for the past 8, 9, 10 years, and that is the wealth gap that exists in this nation.
Yes, this is what's also interesting here is that this is the first time since COVID that the Salisbury Forum, you know, has had an in-person event for 2 years. So it was well attended, and this Professor Tom Shapiro really nailed down the sort of history of an inequity here in our country, and how there's a reckoning, so to speak, between what's really called economic mobility and our historical situation in our country. So it was well attended and a serious, deep subject. I think what he pointed out is the biggest factor that's the problem is household wealth. And a lot of people know that, but it certainly was good to have this event and to have such well attended.
And John, also on the front page, you have a nice story about students from Bard College Conservatory in Annandale teaming up with Music Mountain and third graders, 100 of them from Region 1 third grade schools, not only participated in listening to music, but asking questions and learning about the instruments of music.
Yes, I love this photograph that's on the front page. If anybody should take a look at that, it's a room full of children raising their hands, very excited. The students at Bard Conservatory performed several different pieces for them, but also explained how things work. So, you know, explaining that sound is really vibration, and the Oscar Espina Ruiz started it off by confirming that everybody in the audience understood rhythm, and I thought that was wonderful.
I want to go on to page 8-3 because we interviewed 14 different students from many different schools about what happened at Troutbeck over the last weekend, and that was the amazing put together of this forum at Troutbeck about Black history in not only in America but how it reflects to us in our immediate area.
Right. I mean, this is. There's a quote in here that this is one of our hardly known histories around here, that this student group, which has met like this before, representing really more than a half dozen schools, has sort of dug into our history here in terms of the founding of the NAACP conference in Armenia and the region's involvement in the civil rights movement throughout the last century. And put together an exhibition and a display that will be on show at the Salisbury Association this month.
Yeah, I want to go to another story that the Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, will be in Falls Village with a talk about the transformation plan that they are putting forth. That is coming up on May 12th. That'll be at the Volunteer Fire Department headquarters on Route 7. It's unfortunately limited to no more than 20 people because of COVID. But once again, the hospital going out into the community and trying to rationalize and explain this plan.
Yes, I think I think this is at least the third public forum that they have held to in communities to sort of explain their situation and their position. So it's definitely one that it's too bad that it's limited to 20, but it will also be on Zoom, I believe. So people can tune in.
I want to go back to a story that you also have talking about a housing panel, which is coming up in Cornwall, which is happening on May the 7th. This is a topic that's big in every single town, not only in Connecticut, but in New York and Massachusetts as well.
Yes, this panel is it's happening right around the same time as the Kentucky Derby, but I'm only pointing that out to horse race fans. It is two people who are really deep experts, and that Ingrid Gould Ellen has long roots in Cornwall, and she's an NYU professor, teaches at the NYU Furman Center, and the two of them will, she and Maggie Cooley, who's an attorney in West Cornwall, will open up and discuss what's needed in this northwest corner. There is, as you probably all know, a state mandate to meet a certain affordable housing criteria over the next decade. So they will talk about that and also the fact that there's quite a bit of eligibility for affordable housing in our northwest corner, but not enough units.
Yeah, it's you know, and it goes back to one of the first stories we talked about what's going on in Salisbury with Sarum Village, no matter how much is built, the waiting lists. You look at these waiting lists like in Sharon, it's frightening. No matter how much is built, there's just always going to be a waiting list because it's almost impossible to catch up. I want to go to the editorial pages and the letters to the editor. We'll go to the editorial first. Trying to hold in-person events, a challenge as COVID wanes.
Right. You know, we sort of hope COVID is waning, and there are bursts of the virus still coming out across the country, and we had some show up here too, but still it feels somewhat different, and people are trying to hold these in-person events now and going into the summer. So kudos to the Salisbury Forum for having their first in-person event this past weekend, and you know, there is something different about having an audience there with the speaker, asking questions, and, you know, we will see if we can all get used to this again. It's a step into a world that we're not, that everyone doesn't feel safe in. And so, of course, mask wearing and whatever else helps people feel safe, it's still worth it to try to get out there. So keep an eye on what else is happening in the area, and the next Salisbury Forum, which is on June 1st with Marie Ivanovich, who grew up locally here in Kent and an American diplomat, should be fascinating.
Yeah, COVID is waning. It's the variants are spreading, but the variants are weaker and weaker. And so people can adapt to it better, and the people that have been vaccinated really seem to adapt to it better. And you're right. It's nice to see the Sharon Playhouse. It's nice to see the Berkshire Theater Group. It's nice to see all these things opening up and having people come, Crescendo with their concerts. And the Sharon Road Race is back this weekend on Saturday at once again down at a new location at the ballpark in Sharon Valley. It's just, it makes you feel better that we're on our way to normal, as normal as we can be.
I know, knock on wood. Yeah, Trade Secrets is coming up. You don't realize how much these things mean to your lives until they don't happen. And so this is part of our lives here in the Northwest Corner that really make a difference to the quality of life.
Now, letters to the editor. Craig Whiting has written a very interesting letter, and I've had talks with Craig on this. And, you know, when I ran for the school board many years ago, the inequities of funding and the way the state has written up and how Region 1 basically is dictated, because it's not just Region 1, but it's a state statute. And to change anything in Region 1 is a state statute. It means it has to go before the legislature, and you have to change a state statute. But Craig really expresses a lot of angst and a lot of real concern, which was expressed in Falls Village, by the way. Let's not forget about this. Falls Village had this happen to them about 5 years ago or 6 years ago as well, with these funding inequities that happen every once in a while in Region 1. It's a letter that shows a lot of frustration, and you know what? It looks like there's not a lot of answers.
It looks like there's not a lot of answers, but Craig makes really good arguments why we should try to find those answers. And it should not seem insurmountable to have to go to legislation to fix something. I mean, this legislation happened at the beginning of Region 1, and we should be able to do something again if something isn't working. And so Craig makes it clear that the opinions in this letter are his as a resident. He's a resident of North Canaan. And do not represent the Board of Selectmen, but he's entitled to his own opinions, and he makes a really good case, so do read his letter.
Well, this is a great thing about letters like this. Craig and I, politically, are about as opposite as you can get,
right.
But here is one thing that we totally agree on,
yes.
And I've been talking about for years and years. It's one of those core issues that is really going to either hamper or end up helping, if changes can come, regional school districts in the future.
Exactly.
You've got other letters about letters and civility are relevant now, hurrying to do good, Medicaid unwinding in New York and Connecticut. I mean, you've got a lot of interesting letters this week again.
We do, and don't miss the one that Garth Kobel wrote.
Yeah.
Such an honor, and he was so surprised. And so do take a read on that, this wonderful award he was given by the D.M. Hunt Library, and he had sent a photo of the award itself, which is so unusual with a stack of books, and they all move, and it's just fantastic. So do take a look online to see if you can see that award.
Yeah, also on the Viewpoint page, and this is something that We have lost total control of the aging of America's office holders, the solutions needed. Used to be back when this country was formed, people, when they went to Washington as a congressperson or a senator, they were just normal, everyday working people that went. They did their job. They did their duty. They served their state and country. And after 2 years or 4 years, they returned back to their jobs. Unfortunately, now those jobs have almost become careers.
Definitely. And careers that people want to hold on to once they get into that stream. And so Dick Ollis makes some really interesting points about the ages of our current leaders in Washington and the future, looking at the future. If President Biden runs again, if Donald Trump runs again, the ages they'll be. And so, yeah, he talks about a solution, too, and he shows all the reasons why it's so important. And it has more to do with the age, what he's talking about, than simple term limits. And so give that a read. Dick always makes good points. And, you know, read the letters, too, and don't miss turning back the page.
Yeah, total turning back to pages is one of the first things they ever go to in the Lakeville Journal. Now, before we move on to Compass, who wants to handle, which is a really nice booklet that you put out, Discover Dutchess County?
Isn't it fantastic? It's a 32-page booklet. All of, you know, we cover Millerton and the town surrounding it, but really Dutchess County is a wonderful place, and we want people to realize, as they're looking at what to do, as they can come out and do more things again, to take note of everything that happens in Dutchess County, from Rhinebeck to Millerton to Amenia to Millbrook, Pauling, and Poughkeepsie, the center, the seat, the county seat. And so, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in Connecticut, we don't really have formal counties, but New York State certainly does, and Dutchess County is a wonderful one for visiting all kinds of places. So give this a read. Don't miss it. There's a lot in here.
And I guess next weekend, also in your digital editions, you will have the results of the Region 1 referendum where it passed. But once again, six towns, and I think about 350 people voted in a combination of all those towns. And if it wasn't for Salisbury, which had 100 and some odd people vote, it would have been even lower than that.
Even lower, yeah. Patrick had thought that it would be about 3% of the voters who came out, and he was not. He was just about right. And so that is up online at tricornernews.com. All the results with every town, and you know, there's a chart up there with all the results. So do take a look. It's open to everybody, and we'll have it in the paper next week too.
All right, and well, Cynthia, you have got quite a compass you've put together this week.
Yes, three pages. Very exciting. There's a lot going on.
That's why I've given you about 5 minutes to talk.
Oh, really? I was ready to talk really fast.
No, don't speak fast.
It's a really, truly beautiful Discover Dutchess County, which I have just been sitting here reading while we're talking. So we've got a nice story by Alex Wilburn about Hermine Ford, who's got a show coming up at Furnace Art on Paper in Falls Village. Hermine is really a person who represents the early days of Soho in New York and that very interesting artistic movement. She and her husband, her work is beautiful. And Furnace Art on Paper is a gallery on Main Street in Falls Village in the building that used to be Town Hall back when I was a girl.
Huh.
And it's a beautiful archive. And Kathleen Coca, who is the curator and the owner of the gallery, one of my friends from New York, had said, like, oh, she's quite a big deal. And her shows have, in fact, been very, very interesting. So a new show going on there and information in the article on how to go to the opening. The plant sale season has begun. And, of course, the big mama of all the plant sales is Trade Secrets coming up May 14th and 15th. And that will be at Lime Rock Park this year, which means that the vendors all have more space, which is great, and can have more things to sell, but also that it's a little bit easier to move around from space to space, and less likely that your car will get stuck in the mud in the parking area.
I was going to say it's going to be great for parking, and it's also going to be great for traffic because Trade Secrets has gotten so big that the Route 41 was just constantly, when trade secrets was on, was constantly backed up and had to be really policed. So this is a great, and also trade secrets also has a book signing at the White Hart. They have after they've got the garden tours.
Sunday.
It's, yep. it really is a national event.
It's a national event. People come from all over the country. And speaking of the traffic, I volunteered for many years with Trade Secret, and I was in charge of picking up lunch for all of the vendors. And you literally could not, it would take a half an hour just to get up that short Hoosier Road because the road was so swollen with cars going in, cars coming out, and cars parked on the side of the road. So this is going to be just a great thing for everybody, with acknowledgement that Lion Rock Farm was a beautiful, beautiful site for it for many years. But yes, Sunday is going to be the garden tours. There's three public gardens this year, three private gardens. They're doing it on an a la carte basis, so you pay per garden you're going to go see. So if you feel like, oh, I've seen Bunny Williams' garden before, although her garden's always changing, you can just choose to go to one of the five other gardens. And then we have some local favorites. Matthew Patrick Smythe and Carolyn Rome will be at the White Hart for a book signing and brunch buffet, which should be glorious. And then we've got smaller sales. You've got the D.M. Hunt Library Plant Sale, the North Canaan Douglas Library Plant Sale, Elvie, as you knew, up at Weetog Farm, a very popular annual sale in the hinterlands there in Salisbury. You can go see the lambs while you're there. So a lot of plant sales coming up. And, of course, tag sale season's beginning, so don't blink or you'll miss them in our classified section.
You know, I love the picture you've got of Robert Parker. He's 95. He has recorded. We have over 300 shows of Swing That Music that he recorded. That's a real popular show. But his life and what he's done, not in music, but also his art, is absolutely amazing.
He's a fascinating guy, a super kind guy, a lovely person. He's super beloved here in the Northwest Corner. But like Tim Prentice, his art is international. He's very known, very respected, very lovely, and is super generous with his work. He's, like many artists, he just can't stop drawing. So he's just constantly offering things up to small sales in the area. And so the D.M. Hunt Library is doing a birthday celebration for him. He's 95, and as you say, he's still swinging. Jazz musician, just a guy of many talents. And so information on that, and definitely don't miss the birthday party for him on Saturday, May 14th. A lot going on that weekend. Marie Antoinette coming to the Sharon Playhouse. They had such a huge success with The Scarlet Letter and a sort of a modern adaptation of that story with the gorgeous Gretchen Mol, who so adorably said, "It was always my dream to be able to do a show at the Sharon Playhouse. She's just the nicest person ever." So now we have Lauren Ambrose, who's a television star. They're bringing lots and lots of interesting people to Sharon Playhouse. And again, it will be a staged reading in the Bach Playhouse, and the last one sold out almost immediately, so don't miss your chance to come see this one.
And if you ever run into Robert Parker, ask him for his picture of when he was in Woodstock as a drummer. I mean, people forget that with everything that he's done. He was a musician and drummer at first, and his pictures from back in those 60s and 70s are absolutely wild. And his whole family really followed in his footsteps when it comes to music, so... Amazing
and for
guy.
Some reason, it's not clear. The film The Talented Mr. Ripley has been back in the public eye lately. I'm not sure why, but Caitlin Lyle, our reporter from the Millerton News, has her finger on the pulse and did a very interesting story on the author, Patricia Highsmith, who is known for her sort of super psychological, creepy mystery tales. And many of them have been adapted wonderfully for film, and so she writes about The Talented Mr. Ripley, the famous Hitchcock film Strangers on a Train, which was later made into the wonderful movie Throw Mama from the Train with Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito, and a new adaptation on Hulu called Deep Water, and there's something about her books that seems to adapt really well to the big screen. So interesting story from Caitlin there.
What a section you have this week.
Yeah, and a big calendar, so don't miss our calendar of events.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you guys next week. Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Take care. Once again, the Lakeville Journal is available by home delivery. You can pick it up at locations throughout the tri-state region. And you can also go to tricornernews.com and find not only the Lakeville Journal, but the Millerton News. And you can subscribe to the digital editions as well. That is, once again, the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com.